Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth, people of Earth.
People of Earth, welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It is episode 715 of the Hucklebug.
That means
R.I.P. America again.
Yeah, well, that's what it means.
Yeah, 715 means R.I.P. America again. Well, you know what? We lived through it last time. Maybe we'll live through it again. Unless unless he decides to get rid of voting altogether.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first time he got in, I and my sister both, when people talked about how great it was going to be, we would tell people, well, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do something.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember being hopeful about like that for like the first week, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, maybe it's not going to be as bad as I think. You know, maybe, you know, I thought he would quit. I didn't think he would ever make it 4 years. I thought he's going to be sick of this shit by the first year and walk away. But nope, I was wrong about that.
No way.
Very wrong about that. As I've been wrong about many, many things, including that maybe this country isn't as bad as I think it is. Yeah. Maybe it is worse, in fact. Maybe I was right about that. Before we do shout outs, we have a rip.
We do.
We have one huge, sizable rip for Quincy Jones, but also, man, if I may just throw this in, I've discovered recently the downside of following people's pets on social media, which is that the people's pets on social media die eventually.
I've had that happen once. I mean,
Cinderblock the cat passed away.
Oh.
Cinderblock, the big fat cat who was from my vet's office, the one who was on the treadmill.
Oh, Stens, I cannot believe that because just this week, remember, we talked about it on the show, the news story from the Roanoke station where the cat is trying to lose weight and they make it swim.
Yeah.
And the anchor lady just breaks up. I mean, that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
That showed up on my YouTube feed. I had to go watch it again. So now Cinderblock. Oh.
Yeah, Cinderblock passed away. There's another cat that I used to follow on Instagram named Curious Zelda, who was a little tuxedo cat and so fucking cute. And Curious Zelda also passed away. So rest in peace, Cinderblock and Curious Zelda. But also Quincy Jones, royalty, really. American
Cinderblock
royalty.
Cinderblock and Quincy Jones.
they're on a level. No, Quincy Jones, though, I mean, is maybe as close as we get to royalty.
Well, I was going to say legendary doesn't really do justice, right?
I completely missed that he passed away. I guess he passed away earlier in the week.
Oh, yeah. I was
occupied with other things.
And I should have put that in the outline, actually.
But yeah, he died at 91.
Good long life.
Good long
and
life.
What he did with it. Whoa.
My goodness. I can't think of anybody who had more success than this guy. What I thought we'd do something a little different this time for rips. I found this article on theweek.com, 5 things you might not know about Quincy Jones. I just thought I would read them off for you. 1, he narrowly escaped the Manson family murders. He had been invited to that dinner party and had planned to attend, and he just forgot about it.
Oh,
he
would
have been there and been murdered.
So him and Mark Lindsay had a connection. They both
connection,
had
exactly.
encounters with Charles Manson.
Even more remarkably, he almost bought that house, the house where it happened. He wanted to buy it. The owners decided they would rather rent it out, so they rented it to Catherine Tate and Roman Polanski.
Wonder why he, I mean, thinking of Sharon and
Sharon Tate.
Maybe Jay Sebring was his hairdresser or something.
Maybe.
Why would he have been invited to it?
Oh, I don't, you know, he was famous then too.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it was Terry Melcher's house, famous record producer.
Right.
So You know, maybe Terry was going to be there.
Here's another thing you might not know about Quincy Jones. So he first worked with Frank Sinatra in 1958.
Exactly. Yes.
He worked with Sinatra for quite a lot, but in particular, his arrangement of Fly Me to the Moon, which he changed from a waltz time to swing time, which I think is, that blows my mind, because when I picture the song Fly Me to the Moon in my head, I can't picture it in a waltz time.
No, I can't.
I can't even do it.
That would have tanked.
Anyway, Buzz Aldrin chose that song to be the first song that was played on the moon. So his version, his arrangement of Fly Me to the Moon was the first song that was ever played
on
the moon.
That's not the title of that song, is it?
Fly Me to the Moon? Yeah, it is. It's also known as, in other words, that's in parentheses.
Okay. I thought that was the actual title. Okay.
I think it's Fly Me to the Moon.
I learned it wrong, people.
Parentheses, in other words. But it might be the other way around. I think that's it, though. All right. So this is the one that I think is controversial. It says he helped introduce the world to Oprah. Now, he might have introduced the rest of the world to Oprah, but we all knew who the fuck she was.
Right.
When he produced The Color Purple. She was huge in the United States. She had the biggest talk show on TV. However, Oprah and Whoopi Goldberg were not really known as actors until they appeared in The Color Purple. So yeah. Maybe he introduced the rest of the world to them, but he didn't introduce us to Oprah Winfrey and Whoopi Goldberg. We knew who they were. He had 19 mobile phones. It says here, is perhaps a sign of how influential that he was, that his security guard carried 19 mobile phones for him. And he voiced strong views about some of the people he worked with over the years. He called Elvis a racist, and he said the Beatles were the worst musicians in the world.
Oh,
not true.
No.
But celebrities wanted him to have their number, said the broadcaster. His musical approval mattered. So he would just hand out different phone numbers to people. You go, give him my shit phone, the one that I never answer.
Yeah, that's like when you're at the club and the guy asks you for your phone number.
Exactly, yeah. Just give him, yeah.
555-1111.
I kind of more equate it to me giving, you know, my Yahoo email address instead of my real address. And then the fifth fact that you may not have known about Quincy Jones is that he shares a birthday with Michael Caine. They were born on the exact same day, March 14th, 1933.
I did not know that.
And Michael Caine tweeted when Quincy passed away. He says, "My celestial twin, Quincy, was a titan in the musical world. He was a wonderful and unique human being, and I was lucky to have known him." And Quincy Jones wrote the score for The Italian Job. So there, boom, bonus sixth fact you might not have known about Quincy
Our
Jones.
Italian Job, not the...
No, the Italian, yes, the, oh. the Caine one. Oh. The one with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
So that's a bonus fact that I probably knew at one point, because certainly I watched the credits of that movie and went, oh, Quincy Jones. But I don't think I thought about it again since then. So anyway, rest in peace.
Quincy. Rest in peace. And, you know, people think about Michael Jackson, you know. I'm not sure that there would have been a Michael Jackson without Quincy producing those records.
That's possible.
But I hope before he passed, he at least told one person why Dan Aykroyd was at USA for Africa.
Yeah, really, why was he there? He's not even American.
If anybody...
He's Canadian. He's probably
if it was ever told, somebody please now come forward.
We need to
honor.
Know.
Yeah.
We need to know. I'm going to let all of the Jackson family go because, you know, they're Michael's family.
Right.
Or whatever.
And, you know, the thing about USA for Africa is that they did it after the Grammys.
After the Grammys, they had
to do it bigger and splashier and
more
production values than
the
simple ragtag Band-Aid people.
Yes.
Which always rubbed me the wrong way, but his heart was in the right place. And he was the one who said, leave your ego at the door.
Yep.
And I have a feeling...
That's why Prince didn't come, by the way. That's what I think. I'm pretty sure Huey Lewis got his line in the song. That was supposed to be Prince singing Huey Lewis's line. Yeah.
But I kind of think... I don't know the man, don't know a lot about the man... I kind of think Quincy was one of those people who did kind of always leave his ego at the door. He knew what he could do, but he didn't push it.
Yep, I think that's probably right. At least that's the impression I have also. Well, rest in peace, Quincy. Thank you so much for all of the amazing music and films and everything that you brought to the world. It's just...
Clapping for you, Quincy.
It's beyond imagination. And television, too. He did, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was his show. You know, I mean, he's just... He had his fingers everywhere. He's amazing.
And he gave us Rashida.
One of his great... One of the greatest gifts. But I can't even say the greatest gift because, you know... The Italian job exists. But anyway, rest in peace, Quincy, and thank you so much. We're going to move on to shout-outs now, or shout-out.
Roar.
We just have one. Roar! And it's for Doug. We are the Doug.
We are the Starcher.
Do you want to take it?
No, you said you'd take it.
Okay, I'll take it.
I looked at the picky.
Okay, you know, as long as you looked at the picture. Doug says, have a great show. Mom and one of her babies keeping an eye on me at the guild this afternoon. There's a picture of a mama deer and a slightly younger deer hiding behind a bush right there in the parking lot of the old Bellingham Theater Guild on what you can see is a rainy fall afternoon day.
Yeah.
Afternoon
so Bellingham
day.
Might be a little like Beefield, where the deer...
And the antelope play.
And the antelope. Well, no antelope, but the deer do play. I mean, they just walk down the street like they're pedestrians. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same here. The deer
and when
own
you
the
see
place.
The babies. Oh my God! It's just
I love the little the little spotted fawns. So where my friend Mish works at the dentist's office where she works, she's on the first floor now, and they have windows, big picture windows, as you sit in the chair and get your teeth cleaned, big picture windows to look outside, and sometimes the mama deers will come and drop their babies right there in front of the window, and they go off to do their foraging for the day. And you can just watch a little baby fawn while you get your teeth cleaned.
Dentist daycare.
Exactly, a little dentist daycare is all it is. All right, well, thank you, Doug, for your shout-out. We appreciate you. And now it's time for movies.
Movies.
Everybody loves movies. I have a movie this week. I watched Deadpool and Wolverine. I watched it as a favor to a friend.
Well, let me tell you.
Okay, tell me.
You know, that is not my area at all.
No, it's not mine either. That's
but
why I
have heard so many people say so many good things about that movie. I've actually thought about giving it a try.
It is a lot of fun. It's super entertaining. It's pure popcorn. You don't really need to know any of the... Here's my thing about
people... so I wouldn't be lost.
I don't think so. This is the thing. I don't think anybody watches Marvel movies for the plot. The plot to Marvel movies is all the same. There's a good guy who needs to redeem himself for some reason. There's a bad guy who's going to destroy the entire universe, and the good guy has to team up with some friends to beat the bad guy. That is the plot to every Marvel movie. And it's the plot to this one also. And, you know, sure, there's things I probably would have got more if I knew who Blade is or whatever, and I don't. But I still enjoyed the movie. It's still enjoyable. It's fun. There's a laugh probably every 30 seconds. If there's not a laugh, there's an explosion.
I wouldn't be lost.
No, I don't think so. I wasn't lost. I mean, and I've seen some Marvel movies, but, you know, I'm sure there's a few jokes that flew right over my head. But there's so many jokes that you can afford to miss a couple. It's okay. So, yeah, I'm, you know, thumbs up for Deadpool and Wolverine. It's fun.
That's one of those movies like... what was the Jerry Seinfeld one about Pop-Tarts? You throw enough jokes at
something's eventually going to stick. Some of it's going to slide down the wall, and that's fine. We'll just keep moving on. I will say, I think I finally worked out what it is about Ryan Reynolds. And I like Ryan Reynolds. When I see him in interviews, he seems like a stand-up dude. He's funny. He's quick. He's intelligent. He makes good choices. He's a good actor too.
Like English football.
Yes, and he owns a successful soccer team that he's made a documentary about.
He's a family man. You know.
But I don't like to watch his movies, and I don't like to watch his movies because he's constantly breaking the fourth wall. And God damn it, I want to be immersed. Stop breaking me out of the movie. I can't care about your character if you keep winking at me.
Oh.
I want to be immersed. And I know Deadpool's supposed to be like that, right? Like, Deadpool's like, yeah, it's kind of like Ferris Bueller. He's like self-narrating.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it. That's okay. But I feel like Ryan Reynolds does that in his other movies also. There's just always inside jokes and all the rest of it. And I just, sometimes, I want to see you, Ryan. I want to see you do a scene without winking at me. Just one time.
You know,
maybe I need to watch The Proposal or some shit.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know that many Ryan Reynolds movies. I know him from talk shows.
Yeah, and he's wonderful on talk shows. He's so good on talk shows. I'm sure I would love to hang out with him.
Yeah.
But I have problems watching his movies, and it's because I can't ever get immersed in them.
You'll just hang out with him some other way than watching his movies.
Exactly. All right, so that's my movie. Thumbs up for Deadpool and Wolverine. It's fun.
Okay.
It's a little long, but that's okay. You're either going to be laughing or you're going to be enjoying the gleeful gore. It's a lot of fun.
Mm. Oh, more sirens.
Another siren going by.
Something's going on in town.
There's shit going on in your town. That's the third siren we've heard tonight on Bet's End. Now, what do you have for us, Bet?
Well, I have something called a watch.
A watch, not a binge watch, but a watch.
Well, and when I say this, you'll understand and know. Was it a movie? Was it a binge watch?
Mm-hmm.
I finished up, I had Thursday afternoon off, thank God.
Yeah.
And I finished up the Simone Biles.
Yeah, I figured that was what it was. Yeah.
And I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah.
There were things about it. I mean, the parts about being in the Olympics and the, you know, just how she reacts to getting there and worrying about it and getting ready for it. And
yeah,
the clips with her and her husband where he's trying to talk to her and she's just kind of
being a bit, yeah,
right?
Yep.
And she says, I'm always so mean at competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and it's wonderful because you get to see her perform those routines once again.
Yeah.
But she said something near the very end of the thing that absolutely gutted me. And I have to say, it made me cry.
Mm.
Because it was said with such intelligence,
mm-hmm,
that maybe there are other athletes who have said that, but I've certainly never heard it from anybody in any sport.
Uh-huh.
When they asked, when you leave gymnastics, what are you going to miss the most? And her answer was, it was having the freedom of my body.
Mm.
And when she said that, they were showing the clips where she, literally flying in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a person who used to kind of have a little freedom with my body,
yes,
and does not now, that was her. You know, people say, oh, I miss the competition,
mm-hmm,
the winning, the practice, the hard practices, the people I was with. It was her having freedom of her body.
Yeah.
And it just, when she said that line, I thought, this is a woman. This is a great girl.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And total thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely see it, you guys, if you have not already seen it. Simone Biles, it's on Netflix, right?
Netflix, yep.
Yeah. It's very good. I think you'll like it. I have a video of the week.
Oh,
I've spent
yeah.
a lot of time this week distracting myself with things. I don't know why. Did a lot of painting this week. You know what's perfect about painting? I get lost. I will lose 2 hours
really?
Just sitting there painting. And then I look up and I'm like, ooh, 2 hours have gone by. It's great.
Well, your paintings, both of them, have been wonderful.
Well, thank you, Niblet.
I hope you think about framing them.
I took the first one that I did, I took it down to my mom's and I put it up on her wall. She loved it.
Oh, well, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
The second one, to be honest with you, doesn't look as good in person as it does in pictures. Although from 6 feet away, it's not bad. It's like a full-on Monet. It is a full-on Monet. If you get right on up to it, it's pretty ugly. But
it's a big old mess.
Anyway, I have a video of the week and that's not what we're talking about.
No.
My video of the week. So a month or so ago, I discovered that Ken Marino and David Wayne from The State have formed a little band that they call the Middle-Aged Dad Jam Band. And it's them and some of their buddies. I don't know if you guys remember The State on MTV, but Ken Marino also did Party Down. He's done lots of TV. And David Wayne, I don't think, has done as much since The State broke up. But Tom Lennon was in the group. Ben Garrett and what's her name from Reno 911? Carrie Kinney, I think was her name.
Oh, okay. I know who that is. I never really watched Reno 911.
That show's fucking hilarious. I know it's weird. It's out of the box, but it is fun to watch, and I do recommend that show to a lot of people also. Michael Ian Black was part of The State. Who else? They were in their early 20s on MTV in like the mid 90s or something like that. And just anyway, they formed this band, and I posted a banger of them doing Scenes from an Italian Restaurant on my Facebook page not that long ago.
Yes.
Well,
oh, I didn't realize that was them.
That's them. Yeah. And they release a new song like every week, and it's just great.
Wow.
Well, this week, the song that they released is Islands in the Stream. Ken Marino sings Kenny Rogers' part. And Dolly Parton's part is sung by none other than Kristen Bell. And I completely forgot that Kristen Bell and Ken Marino were in Veronica Mars together. So they know each other. They have a history. I think she appeared on Party Down also. So, you know, they're buddies.
Yeah.
It is wonderful. Oh, my God. It's so much fun. I'll leave the link. You guys got to check it out.
Yes,
it is great.
And there are two things I have to say about.
Say them.
First of all, not really knowing the dad guys.
Uh-huh.
It took me forever. In fact, I went scrolling through the comments. I thought that was Marcus Mumford seated with her.
Mm.
And I kept saying, is his name going to show up somewhere? No. Okay. And then I realized, okay, I guess that's not. But when you watch the video, people, as you're listening to it, scroll down through the comments, because the comments are as good as the video.
Oh, I never watch I never read the comments.
Well, so many people say, you had me at Miss Mars.
And oh, yeah.
Several also said, you know, I always knew that Kristen Bell could sing until I see her sing and I say, she can sing.
She can sing.
And she really can.
Yeah. Well, she was in Frozen, right? She was Elsa, or was she the other one?
Who knows?
Who knows? Do you want to build a snowman? But she's got a beautiful voice, and she did Dolly Proud, I think, with her rendition.
Did.
And I would say I like this version maybe just a shade better, because I'm not a huge fan of Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
But Ken, I thought, knocked it out of the park.
It's just casual. She's one of the comments is Kristen's wearing her Canadian tuxedo.
She is, yeah. Well, you know, I think that's appropriate for the song they're doing. You know, I think they'd been doing something else. She made it, but I thought those were maybe her country clothes. So anyway, we'll leave the link for that. You guys can check it out also. It's a delightful video of the week. Now, Bet, what do you got for us?
Well, I have a little something called Election.
And it's not about the movie. It's not about the movie.
No, because I didn't like that movie.
I love that movie.
I know, that's so weird.
It's all right. It's okay. We can't agree on everything. That's, you know, we gotta keep things real, you know.
But and I promise I'm not gonna rant and piss and moan and all that. But it was funny.
We could do it for hours if you wanted us to, but we're not gonna.
You know, I was expecting. I told Stinny earlier. I was expecting us to still not know the outcome to that.
Right.
That it ended in one night just blew my mind.
Right.
And so I walked into work Wednesday morning, and Melissa, the new girl, well, not newish,
right.
She knows very well how I feel.
Yes.
She didn't say a word. I think she was afraid to say a word.
Yeah.
But then she was off Wednesday afternoon, and Sam came into work.
Again. God damn.
Here we go again.
Holy crap.
So Sam came into work, and so, of course, she said, well, what did you think about last night? And my line was, because, you know, we voted presidential, yep. but there was a big long ballot.
Yeah.
And I said, San, in the span of 7 hours last night, I lost my town, my state, and my country.
Oh, boy.
Because, and then I realized I didn't completely lose them all, but I pretty much did. All three of the town council candidates I vote for lost.
Oh, dear.
I forgot that it was senator, and I did vote for Tim Kaine, and he won. Thank you. We're still
That's
blue.
Good. Yay.
We're red here, but Virginia is still blue.
Good, good.
When I say I lost my state, though, our congressional district, I hate that man so much. I have no idea how. This is a man whose line, and he said it more than once, as a congressman, if I haven't read the bill, I will vote no.
Well, fucking read the bill.
Read the fucking bill.
Read the fucking bill. What do you mean if you haven't read the bill? What do you mean if you haven't read the bill? Fucking read the bill. That's your fucking job. Read the fucking bill. That's like me saying, well, if I didn't purchase that thing. No, purchase it. That is your job. Your job is to purchase the thing. What do you mean if you didn't read the bill? That's not an option.
But then, of course, President, we certainly lost the country.
I will have
to say, though, other than Tim Kaine, I did have a victory in our town's mayor, who is my friend Donnie. He was incumbent. My friend Donnie, who's also a client, but he was running unopposed. So I was pretty much poised to win that one. But it's just been awful. And I think about, in the last days of the election, Trump's people just kept, it was like they were trying to write a script of how can we be so fucking weird that no one will vote for us.
Right.
And now RFK, he says it's going to be,
I know,
on the CDC and the NIH. This is a man who said a worm ate his brain. So everybody go get your COVID vaccine right now.
Because there won't be any more of them.
Yeah.
Just fucking A.
You couldn't write this and put it in a script.
I just shudder to think what the Supreme Court's going to look like by the end of the four years.
The Supreme, we are fucked.
We're so fucked. Oh my God, we're so fucked. I will say the good news about the election, for me anyway, is that I live in Washington, so our governor was reelected, our Democratic governor was reelected, our Democratic senator was reelected. You know what? I didn't actually. Doug will tell us. Doug, let us know how things went locally here in Whatcom County and Bellingham, because I never check those results ever.
Yeah.
But hopefully those were all good too.
And you
there
know,
go the fucking sirens again.
I know something's going on in this place.
God
and it's,
damn!
It's on the outskirts of town because they're coming from the left by my house.
My goodness!
But the thing is, I've been on this kind of rampage about the Electoral College because to me, if you live in New Hampshire, that means your vote doesn't count as much as if you live in Texas, because it's all how many electoral votes are there in each state. But people, the popular vote, he won the popular vote.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like 52 to 50. So over half of this nation are just assholes. Oh, and one last thing I have to say.
Okay.
Around here, it's a thing. I'm doing air quotes.
Thing. Yes.
And I have a feeling it's probably a thing everywhere. Some idiot on Fox News said it, or the QAnon website or whatever.
Right.
All of the houses in our town who in the yard had like 8 to 10 political signs in them, for all of those candidates.
Yeah.
The day after the election, they took them all up except the Trump sign.
And they left everybody
the
just
Trump
left their
sign
Trump signs
still
up
in their yard because It's not enough that you voted for that asshole.
No, you got to make sure everybody knows.
You have to pledge allegiance to him 24 hours a day, every
day.
That's
fine. Now you know who your
enemies
are.
They're Nazis. That's
now you know. Now you know who your fucking enemies are.
Donald. I mean, that's what it is.
I was driving around on Wednesday. I had to go over to the mall to pick something up. And as I was leaving the mall, I was sitting at a red light, and I was just watching cars go by. And I was watching the cars and going, I bet that fucker voted for him right there. I bet that fucker voted for him. That person's in a Prius. Oh, they probably voted for Kamala, but that one is in a pickup truck, so he definitely voted for Trump.
In Virginia, we do that by license plate. If you have, there's a Tea Party license plate, so you know.
Oh, you know. Is the Tea Party still a thing?
Well, you know.
Yeah,
We call them poopy plates because it's a little snake in the middle that looks like a pile of dog poop.
Right.
And
yeah.
It says, don't tread
don't
on me.
Don't tread on me. Jesus Christ. Nobody's fucking treading on you.
Right. You're
all right,
treading
anyway,
on us, asshole.
It's enough. Let's leave it.
How many times have I said asshole in this segment?
There's a lot. listeners, does anybody want to keep a count? A ping? Can we get a ping? Ping? Every time Bette says asshole.
Oh, but you know, you got a rant, and I could never, well, this will come later, but I don't feel bad ranting about you. Even if you don't agree with everything I say, I know you still like me, so it's okay.
Of course I still like you, and all of our listeners still like you. You're with family here, Bet. All right, I have a pet peeve. We'll lighten the mood a little bit. We have with the triumphant return of the pet peeve. It's been millions of years since we've done
okay,
a pet peeve.
Okay, I hope it doesn't have to do with grammar, because
it does not have to do with grammar.
I did a really bad grammar thing hooking up with Stinny tonight.
Bet used the wrong
word. I made
form
your mistake.
No, she said I'm here, H-E-A-R.
Oh, here, yeah, that's right.
It was. That's okay. You know, shit happens. I've caught myself doing that sometimes too.
I was a little hinky when we started. So
this is, yeah, you were, but it's all better now.
It's all better now. It truly is.
It's not all better, but it's a little better.
It's a little better.
Well, it's like that's like
sometimes
the real life posted.
Works.
Okay. It's like the real life posted. There's something worse than being sad, and that is being sad alone.
Oh,
we don't want to do that. All right, but let's talk about my pet peeve, because I want to know Wendy's. Wendy's is kind of my go-to fast food.
Mine too.
Because it's cheap. I usually do the $5, the junior bacon cheeseburger.
It's cheap.
Bag.
Cheap when I go there.
$5, I get a junior bacon cheeseburger, 4 chicken nuggets, a small order of fries.
I don't do that. I just get a burger and a drink, and it's like $8.
That's also cheap. But how much more I'm getting for $5? So I just want to throw that out there. But anyway, but this is good. So, all right. So you're also familiar with Wendy's. So maybe you can help me out with this. When you go up to Wendy's at the drive-thru, you go up to the window, you give them your money, they hand you your drink, but no straw. I don't get a straw with my drink. They come back 10 minutes later with my meal and say, your straw's in the bag. Well, you know, for the last 10 minutes, I could have been drinking my drink and making sure that it's actually a Diet Coke and not a Dr. Pepper or whatever the fuck. Why won't they give me a straw with my drink? That is my pet peeve.
Okay,
they're the only fast food place in town that does not give you a straw with your drink. Why?
Well, that may be local to you.
Do you get a straw with yours?
No, when I go to Wendy's, I order... Then I go to the first window and just give them my money.
Yeah.
And they give me my receipt. Then I go to the second window and I get my bag and my drink. And
you get everything at once.
So I don't get the drink first. I get them all together.
Interesting.
So you just have a crappy Wendy's.
But we have two Wendy's and they both do it.
Oh, it's Western Wendy's. Western Wendy's.
We have a South Wendy's and we have a North Wendy's. And I normally go to the North Wendy's because it's nearer to me, but the South Wendy's does it also. Plus, there are Wendy's along my route from here to my dad's house where I have stopped to get a burger on the road, and it's the exact same thing there too.
Oh, man.
They hand me my drink.
It is.
I wait 3-4 minutes before they come back with my food, and they go, here you go, the straw's in the bag. Well, all right, thank you. Now I have to sit here for a second and take a sip out of my drink to confirm that this is a Diet Coke before I drive away, because I need to make sure this is right.
Well, first of all, that's good, because, you know, when we get everything together, you drive off, then
right.
you can just throw in, oh, God, this is Dr. Pepper.
Exactly. A lot of times you don't notice it until you get home.
Wow, Western Wendy's a bitch.
That's what's going on at the Western Wendy's, man. Listeners, I want your thoughts on this as well, but I just feel like that should be the rule. The rule should be, here is your drink with a straw. At In-N-Out Burger, they hand you your drink with a straw already in it. All you have to do is take a sip.
And an addendum to that.
Okay.
Every once in a while, because in our town, Wendy's and McDonald's are right beside each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy's drive-thru is normally out to the road. They're so crowded. So I'll say, well, bite the bullet and go to McDonald's.
Go to McDonald's because it's a little faster, sure.
Yeah. McDonald's apparently thinks, you know, a Big Mac, the messiest sandwich ever made.
Yeah.
They think we are so pristine that we don't need a napkin.
Yeah, what's
you
up with that?
You never get a napkin at McDonald's.
That's especially true if you get a Happy Meal. Happy Meals do not come with napkins, apparently. So I don't know what
anyone
that's all about.
Anyone ever needed a napkin, it's somebody who has a Big Mac.
Yes, it's true. The only place you might need more of a napkin is Carl's Jr. or Hardee's, as it is out there on the East Coast, right? Mm. Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, I believe, are the same. All right, let's finish up the Hucklebug here. What do you have one more segment?
Well, I have one. I put it in the outline as holiday.
Holiday?
But in my notes, just holidays.
Oh, just holiday.
And it, you know, Halloween is over, so of course it's Christmas time.
Yep.
You know?
Skip right over Thanksgiving.
Right. Skip right over Thanksgiving.
Straight to it.
You know, I stress over Christmas all the time because of you know, going out to shop and buy people things, and so you know sometimes I just give gift cards, which I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the four people in my life, which are now five people because Charlie is now really in our fold, they're happy with it. But I do like, between gift cards and then having a little present that I can wrap up and give to them that they can open. I love doing that.
Yeah.
And I saw something on my Facebook feed that just blew my mind. In case Charlie, I own a trailer, is listening, I can't say what it was.
Okay.
But I found something and immediately went and ordered it. And so I already have.
Ooh, great.
At least one Christmas present for
good job.
All of my peeps. And, I'll tell you later. And
okay, yeah, I want to know what it is.
You'll love it too.
I'm looking forward
I don't know how they'll feel about it because they may not understand, but it certainly
you'll
made
explain
me
it
happy.
To them, whatever it is.
Well, I can with visuals because
okay.
you love. But but that I don't even have to worry at this point about Christmas just takes one load off of my tiny little worried brain.
That's great. That's a good start.
Yes.
Good for you. I have not. Well, actually, I do have, I think, one Christmas present purchased.
Oh.
Early. But that's it. And a lot of times I'm on my way by this time, but I am not this year. Not this year. Let's do our U-Rule, shall we? And let's get the hell out of here. My U-Rule this week is for Marla. Marla, Marla, Marla.
Marla, 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 Marla. She always rules.
She does always rule, and I know I do give her you rules pretty frequently because she's, you know, one of the few friends that I see on a regular basis. Let's be honest, I'm not out of the house too much, so, you know, the people that I see are Marla and Doug and Mish sometimes, and Les a little bit, but not a whole lot of people. But, you know, Marla and I got together and we had our walk this week on Thursday. Normally we walk on Wednesdays. We didn't this week on Wednesday because I had a conflict.
Oh.
So we met on Thursday instead. And I told her the country gave her a terrible birthday present because her birthday was Monday. You know, we just walked, we commiserated and, you know, we walked around the mall and we just talked about how there's nothing we can do about it. You know, it's done. Yep. It's a thing that's done. We did our part. And the only thing, you know, Marla said, all we can do is just keep trying to be the very best versions of ourselves that we can be. So that's what we will do.
Yes, and that is perfect, and that kind of comes into my you rule.
All right, then let's hear yours. Good.
Well,
good
my you rule is for my friend and partner in crime when we were younger. I've talked about him before, Charlie Welch, who we graduated together. Then he was so lucky to get out of this town and become a flight attendant. He flies all over the world. But his mother still, his 92-year-old mother still lives here. And so he comes back, you know, from time to time when he's not flying to take care of her. And when I do my driving around, I always go by his house to see if he's there. And Thursday, when I was driving by, he was walking out of his car with a coat hanger holding his flight attendant uniform that he had just taken off. And I rolled down the window and said, "Charlie, Charlie." And so he dropped everything. He came right over to the car. We were talking, and he's as blue as I am. He said,
"Yeah,
what in the hell? Tell me what." And the house across from his mother's had a Trump sign. All the other ones were gone, but there was the Trump sign.
Of course,
sign
still
there. And it was really the first time I got to talk, because, you know, my sister is out and about and flying around. It was the first time I ever got to talk to somebody face to face about this shit that this has become. And we had so much fun. I mean, it was maybe a 10-minute conversation, but he said, I was telling him about a thing I read on HuffPo. About, it was an op-ed piece called "America Voted Trump, It's What We Deserve."
Yeah.
Go there if you want to, because it really does say a lot. And he said, "Oh, HuffPo, that's all I read." And he was telling me about the podcast he listens to, which are Democratic. And we were just having such a great time. And he said, "Oh my gosh, I got to say goodbye. My mom is still in the car. I got to get her out." I said, "Charlie, you came here and left your mama in the car." And he said, "Well, I had to come and see you." I love him. I wish we could have a talk once a week.
Oh, I wish you could too.
Like us.
Like us. Yeah, you should. You know what? You should do a podcast with him too.
Now, he's kind of like me, that in he's afraid of coming out with his political beliefs because he'll get persecuted for it.
Yeah, I can understand that. Now more than ever. Sheesh. Yeah.
But Charlie, you rock.
I still hold out hope that one day Canada will just annex Whatcom County and I don't even have to move. Shit, they can just swallow us up.
And you'll get health care.
I'll get health care. It would be great. I can go see a therapist at last. Thank Christ. All right, gang. That is our Hucklebug this week. Let us know how you're doing out there. I know it's a terrible thing, but we're stronger together, I guess. So they say. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty, what do you call it? What's the word?
Defeated. Because, you know, the people say, okay, it's to us, together, and fight.
People
how
united.
We fight. We have no fight.
We don't have
a big foot on our heads.
They got all the guns.
Right, exactly.
Oh, dear. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody give me some good news. Would you do that for us at least?
We happy few.
We band of brothers and sisters, I guess. We love you guys, and we're not going anywhere, at least not now yet. Right. So,
well, unless they take
until
us
the
off
podcast,
the air.
Yeah, until the podcast becomes illegal, we're going to stay here.
That's kind of a thing. I was thinking, fight, how do you fight? I'll give money to every revolutionary cause.
I'll tell you what else, too. Speaking of, I'll give money to any. The one thing that I was really looking forward to on Wednesday was my phone being fucking silent. I'm so tired of the robocalls and the robotexts. I've had it.
I got three
of them on Wednesday asking me for money. Hey, Democrats, you guys can fuck off. You lost. I'm done with you. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I have to continue to vote for you, I guess, because I can't vote for the other guys. But you guys need to get your fucking shit together, because anybody could have beaten this guy, except the one person you chose, except the two people you chose.
Oh.
I blame you. I blame you for all of it. Find a better candidate. It's on you. Oh. There we go. There we go. There was my rant. I really didn't want to talk about the election, but there it is.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we can come up with a candidate, and it breaks my heart, but it has to be a white man. It's just...
Yeah, of course it has to be a white man.
That's the only way it's going to work.
Obviously, it has to be a white
man. Or a black man as cool as Obama, which there... Are there?
I don't...
Nobody's cooler than Obama.
Well, there's... I don't know, man. You know, LeVar Burton's pretty fucking cool.
He's pretty cool.
But I don't think he wants... He doesn't want that smoke.
I wonder whatever happened to Beto O'Rourke from Texas. Talk about cool.
He disappeared. What did happen to him?
He disappeared. Or as my wonderful nephew used to say when he was a kid, it just appeared.
It disappeared. Which is the opposite of disappearing.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so apologies for my little off the handle rant there, but I mean, I'm angry at the Democrats that they could not do better. That's the problem. The problem is we're to do better. Our party needs to do better.
We're a little delicate right now, people.
We are. Yeah. It's been a week of living on the edge, frankly. But we're still here, and we're going to continue to muddle through it together with
rant. Remember when we hated W?
What I wouldn't give to have W back in the White House.
Thank God he didn't endorse Trump. He just stayed silent.
I thought he endorsed.
Well, his Biden. his daughter endorsed.
Yeah.
But you know, once he got a shoe thrown at him, I realized this is not such a bad guy. Might not be a great president, but he's a good guy.
He's just a dope over his head, which is what most of our presidents have been during my lifetime.
I take W.
Oh, I would take W back. I would take Dick Cheney over. I would take Dick Cheney over to Donald Trump right now. I would take the ghost of Ronald Reagan. I would take Nixon back over Trump. There's not one president we've had in my lifetime that I would prefer to Trump.
You know, Nixon said, "I am not a crook." And you didn't know or not. This one, you know, he's a crook.
He's a crook. We all know it. All right, let it go. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week. We will talk to you again next week when we return. Until that time,
we won't be so vehement next week. I hope.
Well, no, we'll probably just be a little more. I don't know. Maybe we'll be a little bit more beat down and a little less ranty. Till next week, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
What do you think? You ready to do a fucking
thing?
Oh, shit. I don't have my timer. Yeah, it's a good thing you said something.